I've got about three little old thoughts here, and they're not much. I'll just be honest with you. But I haven't been able to get away from what I'm going to talk about this morning through the entire marathon. I've been thinking about it, mentioned it during the marathon, and I preached on it years ago. I haven't think about it this morning. That doesn't have a thing what I preached years ago, what I'm thinking about this morning. But I may have to travel backwards and forth. I may have to run rabbit tracks and everything else to get in 10 or 15 minutes for you, okay? But we'll do our best, amen? I want you to turn your Bible to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 6. This morning I'm going to read a lengthy, lengthy passage of Scripture. 1 Kings and chapter number 6. No, I'm sorry. 2 Kings and chapter number 6. I apologize. 2 Kings and chapter number 6 in the Word of God this morning. 2 Kings and chapter number 6. And I want to begin reading in verse number 24, if I may. The Bible said, "And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and a fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, 'Help, my lord, O king.' And he said, 'If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress?' And the king said unto her, 'What aileth thee?' And she answered, 'This woman said unto me, Give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, Give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes. And he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Then he said, God do so, and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him. And the king sent a man before him, but ere the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, See ye how this son of a murderer hath sent to take away mine head? Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? And while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him. And he said, Behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer? Then Elisha said, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God, and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, Why, sit we here until we die. If we say, We will enter into the city, when the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. Amen. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went in into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know we be hungry. Therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, When they come out of the city, we will catch them alive and get into the city. And one of the servants answered and said, Let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see. They took therefore two chariots, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, Go and see. They went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste, and the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord, on whose hand he leaned, to have charge of the gate. And the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died, as a man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, Two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God and said, Now behold, if the Lord should open the windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. So he fell out unto him, for the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died. That's a long, long passage of Scripture. May the Lord bless that. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school hour this morning. I thank you for the gathering together of your people. I thank you, Father, for the marathon and the help there. Thank you for the sweet deliverance we experienced. I pray now, Lord, that you'll bless in the congregation today. I need both, Lord, physical help, as well as spiritual help today. So may the Holy Ghost of God touch me and fill me and use me for your honor and glory. Help me with the scripture. I pray to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus to people today. I'd ask you, Lord, to save sinners that may be lost and without God, and help your people to rejoice over what Christ has done in our stead. Bless us now as only you can. Have your divine will and way. Provide liberty and help me to think clearly and speak plainly. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. All right. I want to more or less take verse number 9 of chapter 7. Where these four lepers said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings." Amen. And I'll probably not particularly use that verse, but I want to use it as a kind of a launching place, really, and preach out of this text for a little while on you today, this morning. And I'll give you the thought that I'm going to be preaching on in just a little while. But I want to carry us back to the beginning where I started reading. And bring us up to what I want to preach on and call your attention to. Now, the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad by name, had besieged the city of Samaria. Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel. And Ben-Hadad had besieged that city round about. There was none that come out of the city, and there was none that went into the city. It got so terrible that the Bible said that there was a famine there in the land. And the famine was so bad that the people were honestly eating donkey's head and calves' dung. Now, we've never had it that bad in America, that we've had to resort to eating donkey's heads and dove's dung. But these people found it that way. They were so hungry that they were ready just about to eat anything that they could find to put in their stomach. You know, I want to pause right there for a minute and say, I think that sinners are just about the same way. They've just about come to a place in their life, many of them, and they're so hungry for something real. But the problem is that many of them are willing to take just about anything that they think will appease or satisfy them. But all it'll do really in the long run is satisfy them in their flesh. And that's all these people were really looking for, was fleshly satisfaction from what they could find to eat. And it got so bad that two women got together and even decided to eat their own children. Ladies and gentlemen, we have never in this life had it that bad in America. We've always lived in a land of plenty. We've always had enough to eat. You can say amen right there. And you'd have to admit, I'm telling you, a woman's love is a great love for her child. And it would take something to cause a woman to boil her own child and share it with somebody else that they might eat that baby and sustain their own flesh. But she did that. The other lady, the Bible said, took and hid her child. Amen. And when the king came by, she cried out to him. She cried out to him. And the king, of course, explained to her, "Ma'am, if God don't help you, there is no way in the world that I can." And the king of Israel was simply facing reality. Now, I'm telling you, it's time that we in America and in our churches and in our church today face this reality that unless God helps us, there's not going to be any help. I think that we've forgotten that God is a present help in trouble. And we're yet trying to deliver ourselves from the place that these people found themselves in. And it is an utter impossibility. If God doesn't deliver the church today, the church is not going to get delivered. I don't care how many times we try to incorporate fun and games into the house of God, it's not going to work to deliver the souls of mankind. It's still going to take the preaching of the gospel and the word of God to deliver the souls of men. Somebody say amen right there. I'm telling you, gimmicks and gags ain't going to get it done. It is going to take the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Hallelujah. That's right. And it's time people face that reality. We entertain the idea in America today that we can have car shows and pack a few Sunday and under the bus seat $20 bill and bubble gum and all that mess. But I'll tell you, you can bubble gum them in, you can hot dog them in, you can hamburger them in. But I'm telling you, on the authority of that Bible, unless the Holy Ghost of God gets a hold of a sinner's heart and brings them to a place where they can hear the gospel, the power of God, which is Christ's salvation, they will never come to God and be saved. Amen. That's right. That word is like a magnet, buddy. It'll draw sinners. That's right. And so that king said, ma'am, said, if God don't help us, help you, there is no help for me. Now, the king puts on sackcloth and ashes, and all the people see him that way. And they know they're in serious trouble. And here's what the king said in so many words. He said, I'm going to take the head of Elisha, the son of Japheth. I'm going to take his head off his shoulder. And if I don't, mine will be taken off of me. And he said, and I believe because of what the messenger said, it was in the king's thought. That messenger said, the Lord hath brought this evil upon us. Why wait we any longer on the Lord? Now, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You better listen to what Preacher Hall's trying to tell you. There's a lot of people today that are trying to get ahead of God. And we don't have the patience to wait upon the Lord. Some folks have gotten the idea today, like Samaria had, that God hath forgotten all about them. That like there's no God in heaven that cares anymore. But I'm telling you, just as sure as there was a God in heaven and a prophet in Israel, there's still a God in heaven today and preachers in the world today that will tell you that if we await upon the Lord, we will renew our strength, we will run and not grow weary, we can walk and not faint, and we will mount up with wings of eagles if we'll wait on God. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people today is like Abraham and like Sarah. They didn't want to wait on God. Sarah didn't. And so she got herself an Ishmael. She got what she wanted, but she didn't want what she got after she got it. And Baptists are that way. They want something, but many times they don't want what they get after they get it. Amen. I tell you, the best thing we can do is just wait on God. Just sit tight. If I can use this kind of language, just hang in there. I'm not a hold on endure man, but hold on. Just a little longer. Hope's on the way. Amen. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. The trumpet's about to sound. Jesus is about to come back. I'm telling you, we're running the last mile of the way, and I'm just about to take a lap on this. I can see the end of the corn roll. Praise God. Heaven's just inside. Thank God. It's just on the other side of the mountaintop. Maybe just one more mountain, one more valley, and heaven will be all ours. Amen right there. Thank God. I know that's right. Just waiting on God. But old Elisha was smarter than that. He said, you bring that messenger in here and shut the door on that king. He said, that son of a murderer wants to take my head. He said, I ain't going to let him have it. And he prophesied that there would be flour at the gate of Israel. And that there would be barley. Amen. And that messenger said, if God opened up a window to heaven, that might be true. He said, that's the only way it's going to happen. And Elisha said, it's going to happen, and you're going to see it, but you're not going to get about it. Now, you've got to understand, these people are living off of, if I can use this word, an ass's heads, and they're living off of dove dung. That's what they're eating. They're eating their own children. And Elisha tells them, tomorrow about this time, there's going to be flour, and there's going to be barley in the gate of Israel. In the gate of Samaria. Now, they've got a lot of Baptists today that don't believe that God is able to feed us spiritually. Now, I'm telling you right now, God is able, anytime He gets ready, to give us bread from heaven. If we're willing to receive that bread, God is ready to give us that bread from heaven.
Our problem is, praise God, we're not hungry enough. Them people got hungry, ladies and gentlemen. And unless we get hungry for the Word of God, we'll never have the Word of God in the abundance that we need it in today. I'm trying to preach. My voice ain't got much in it, but I'm trying. I'm straining around, amen. But you know, Elisha prophesied that, and behold, there was four old lepers sitting outside the gate of the city. And always in the Bible, leper's a type of a sinner. So there's four old sinner boys sitting outside the gate. And they said, what in the world are we doing just sitting here? If we go in the city, we're going to die of famine. We're going to starve to death. And if we sit here, we're going to die. Said, why don't we just go cast ourselves upon the mercy of the Syrians? And said, if they let us live, we'll live. And said, if they kill us, said, we're just going to die anyway. So we just might as well go and get it over with and die if that'd be the case. But when they got up in the twilight to visit the Syrians' camp, God had done something in the twilight. Woo! God sent a noise. I'm going to tell you, Brother Steve talking about serving a great God. It doesn't say a thing about Israel, the people in Samaria, hearing any noise whatsoever. But that host of Syrians heard a great noise. That sounded like two armies coming against them. And they rose up in the twilight and fled for their lives as fast as they could go just because God sent a noise. Now I'm going to tell you, that's what you call one of God's people putting 10,000 to flight. They ran from a noise. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. That crowd out there ain't as brave as what you think they are. Amen. The devil's crowd's not as brave as you think they are. They took their flight and headed for a noise. But when those lepers got there, four old sinner boys, they looked around and they said, everybody's gone. And can you imagine how hungry they must have been? I'd have done the same thing and you would have too. They went into that first tent, and the very first thing they did, sat down and got them a little bite to eat. Yeah. Praise God. They said, look at all this food, boys. Let's sit down and eat an apple and an orange. Praise God. We'll eat this T-bone steak over here. We'll eat a little salad off the salad bar. Yeah. Amen. Get all the gold and silver, and let's run. Make a run for it. They gathered up all the gold and silver and headed out and hid it. Hid it. You know what? They scratched their head probably and said, you know what? We done so well that time. Said, let's go back for the second load. When they went back to the second tent, they were already full. They weren't looking for food. They just grabbed the silver and gold and made off with it again and took it and hid it. But somehow, and it doesn't just say one of them, they all came to this same consensus. They said, hey, we do not do well. For today is a day of glad tidings. Today is a day of glad tidings. Now, I'm going to tell you what they did with those glad tidings. Now, listen carefully here. You're getting ready to get my message. They carried those glad tidings back to the gate of Israel, Samaria. Amen. And they called to that porter that was watching the gate. They said, hey, the Syrians are gone and there's food out there if you want to go get it. And that porter called to the king and said, there's some sinner boys out there, some old lepers, that said there's some... Said the Syrians are all gone. Said they left everything they had. And that king said, hey. Said, I'm going to tell you what them egg suckers is trying to do. They want to get us out of the city. And he said, they know we'd be hungry. They're not fools. Said they want to get us out of the city and lead us away so they can take the city. Said, send out a couple of chariots and go out and see what's going on. So they sent out a couple of chariots, and sure enough, they followed them all the way to Jordan, all the way to Jordan. All the way from the tents where the camp was, all the way to Jordan. They found the spoils of those Syrians. I mean, they found their flour. They found their barley. They found their weapons. They found their horses. They found their asses that had been tied. All along the way, they found the silver and the gold. They found everything that they had. They had deserted it all and left it behind. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. And they come back and told the king, and the king went out and gathered it all into the gate of Samaria. And put that lord in charge that had back-talked Elisha. And the Bible said that the people were so hungry, they trod upon him and he died. He saw the food, but he never got to eat one bite of it. Not one bite of it. But Samaria delighted themselves in the food and Elisha's prophecy come to pass. Now I'm coming to my message. Somebody said, "Preacher, what are you preaching on?" I've named it, I've called it this, by the grace and help of God. Hey, treasures in the camp of the enemy. Treasures in the camp of the enemy. Let me just simply start out by saying, ladies and gentlemen, that the devil has got a crowd. And it's not the drunk on the bar stool. For the most part, it's that religious crowd out there that's got a little religion, but they wouldn't know God from Adam's house cat. And I'm telling you, their apostates and their false doctrine and false teaching is eating up. They're eating up the people alive. But I'm telling you, out yonder in the world, right under the devil's nose, there's treasures out there. There's treasures out there, but here it is. You and I are going to have to see to it that they get those treasures. We could put ourselves in the place of those lepers, and we're going to have to see to it that they get those treasures that are in that camp. I marveled at what Brother Steve taught on in Sunday school, and he got off on the kingdom of God. He talked about the kingdom of God being forever and ever. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for how long, Brother Steve? Forever. Amen. 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 Here's what I thought on that. I preached through the book of Daniel and I flipped over and read it. Daniel was interpreting a dream of the king. The king had dreamed about four world empires. He had dreamed about the Babylonian Empire. He had dreamed about the Medo-Persian Empire and the Grecian Empire and the Roman Empire. But then Daniel told that king, he said, "But the God of heaven," they said, "these kingdoms is coming to an end." But said, "While these kingdoms are on the earth," said, "the God of heaven is building himself a kingdom that will last forever and forever." Somebody said, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying God is building him a kingdom, ladies and gentlemen, right in the enemy's camp. Somebody say amen right there. Right out of the midst of the world and the ungodly, the Holy Ghost of God is touching the hearts of old sinners and bringing them to God, birthing them into the family of God, and building him a kingdom right here on earth. While the devil looks on his crowd, there ain't nothing they can do about it. Hallelujah. That's right. Treasures. Treasures in the enemy's camp. Now, what'd they find out there? Well, they found silver. They found gold. They found donkeys and mules. They found horses. They found flour. They found barley. Got all kinds of food, clothing, garments, vessels. Everything they needed, they found out there in the enemy's camp. Amen. They actually found some treasure out in the enemy's camp. Now, I've got three little points, and I'm done this morning. Three little points, and it's all, what kind of treasures do you think that is really, if we want to spiritualize this, did they find in that camp? I want to say, first of all, they found some letters of grace. Letters of grace. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, what do you mean?" Hey, I mean the first thing that they did, God, to start with, God didn't have to do what he done. It was unmerited favor. I'm telling you, that king was that king of Israel was a sorry king. He didn't deserve one crumb of bread, but God, in His mercy and in His grace and His unmerited favor, gave them food to eat. They found their treasures out yonder in that enemy's camp. And I'm telling you, they found some. And the first thing those four lepers done is they headed right back to the city and cried out to the porter. Now, they didn't have a letter, but I'm spiritualizing this. They spoke to the porter and said, "Hey," said, "they're gone. And there's all kinds of treasures that they've left behind."
Amen.
May I say to you and I today, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be our cry. That there are letters of grace in the enemy's camp. I'm glad that I've got 66 books in the Bible. And every one of them is a precious letter that God has written to you and I. And they are letters of grace. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, it's like the Bible said in Esther, we've got those letters and we ought to run with them. Where? Right back to those that are starving to death for the Word of God. That's where we ought to run to with it.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. If you read the book of Esther, Haman sent out a letter that all the Jews would be killed. And that brought condemnation upon them. But you know the story about how Esther went into the king. And how she turned things around. She was a Jew. And she turned things around. And old Haman, he got hanged on his own gallows. On his own gallows. And then Mordecai was exalted in the kingdom. And Esther went to the king again about writing some letters to her people. They had already received letters that they were going to die. But the second letter that went out from Mordecai. They signed it with the king's signet. And it went out to the people. And it wasn't letters of condemnation, but it was a letter that spared and saved the life of those Jews. Somebody said, "Preacher, what are you saying?" I'm saying that letter of Haman's was a letter of the law. Come on in the house. And that law, the law killeth. The letter killeth, ladies and gentlemen. It is a letter of condemnation, the law is. And there's no escaping it, friend. I'm telling you, hey, let every man be guilty before God. And the only way a man will be found guilty before God is by the law of God. But the law was given by Moses. But praise God, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, we've got the letters of grace. Let us get on them mules and dromedaries and carry those letters of grace to those that are starving to death in the city. Amen. And I'm telling you, there's some old sinners out there that are starving to death for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right out under the enemy's nose. In the camp, there's treasures. I mean, they've done everything they can do to destroy that Bible. But they ain't never got the job done yet. Pardon the expression, ain't, but they ain't never got done.
Amen.
They've tried to, but they've tried to write other translations. And in the dark ages, they tried to hide it and do away with it and keep it from the people. They've done everything they can to take that Bible and keep it out of the hands of people. The devil's pulled every shenanigan he can. He's give every kind of a translation that he can possibly give to try to confuse people. Come on now. Amen. He's even got some people that'll try to retranslate what God said. Well, it says, you know, it's written this way, but it means something else. Why is it? Oh, no. It means exactly what it says in that book. You better believe it does, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm telling you, the devil has tried to destroy that letter of grace. Now, I'm telling you, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. And it teaches us that denied ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously in this present evil world.
Amen.
Amen. That Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Oh, we've got those letters of grace found right in the midst of the enemy's camp. Can you imagine how those people were so hungry that they trod one upon another in the gate of Samaria just to get something to eat? Oh, I'd long for the day when God would create a hunger in the hearts of sinners. We're not seeing it today, ladies and gentlemen. There's no, I don't see many sinners that are really hungering and thirsting for the Word of God. They're not breaking our door down to get in to hear the gospel like they trod one another underfoot at the gate of Samaria to get that flour and that barley. Oh, and it's because they're not hungry. And how can we expect a sinner to be hungry for the Word of God when those that are so-called saved by the grace of God, when they're not even hungry for the Word of God? We can live with it or we can live without it, according to most people. Come on in the house. Hallelujah. Got letters of grace right in the midst of the enemy's camp.
Amen.
What about that? Now I'm telling you, that grace delivered the captives, friend. Woo! They were captives. They couldn't get out of that city. But I'm telling you, when word came that there was treasures out there, and it doesn't say that they went out there to get it. The king sent somebody. Jonathan, I just got a hold of something right there. They didn't go out there to get it. The king sent somebody out there and brought it to them. Now you'll catch that in the slow freight after a while. Praise God, the king will bring it right in here in the house of God to them. They don't even have to go out there after it. He'll bring it to them. They didn't go get no flour, barley. King brought it in there to him. He sent somebody out to bring it. Now I'm going to tell you that somebody is. That somebody's the Holy Ghost of God, friend. That Holy Ghost will go out there and bring in the king's meat. Woo! So an old sinner can hear the gospel and be saved. I'm about ready to turn a double back somersault. Hallelujah. Thank God for letters of grace. One of the sweetest love letters ever read in my life. Got 8 little chapters in it. It's called the Song of Solomon.
Amen.
How sweet it is. Tells me all about how Jesus loves His bride.
Yes.
Now His bride loves Him. And I am glad I am in the bride. You call me what you want.
Amen.
And I'm glad to be a Baptist. Don't make any apologies for that either. And so there was treasures in the camp. There were letters of grace found in the camp of the enemy. Then I want to say secondly, that not only were there letters of grace found there, but they found the love of God out there. Hallelujah. What great love God had to supply that physical need for those people. And folks, if He supplied that physical, He'll certainly supply the spiritual for you and I. Now, I'm just telling you this. Somebody said, how do you know that there's the love of God in the enemy camp? It's John 3:16, one of the simplest verses in the Bible. For God so loved the world. Now I'm telling you, the world out there might be the enemy's camp, but the love of God is out there. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe today? Are you a believer today? He said, whosoever. That surely meaneth me, ladies and gentlemen. That surely meaneth you also. But God commendeth His love toward us, not after we got clean and washed up and good enough to be saved. God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, bless His name. And He that died for us when we were sinners, how much more shall He bestow blessings of grace upon us now that we're in the family of God? I just thought of something here. This is probably going to really raise another eyebrow. I expect another phone call after this one.
Go ahead, he's listening now.
But if He provided providence for us when we were lost, surely He'll provide protection for us that we're saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Ain't that right or not? Amen.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, looking at one old boy believing the providence of God. Hadn't been with the providence of God, my brains and gray matter would be laying over in Vietnam somewhere.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And that dude popped that antenna off of my shoulder. He missed my brain by about 3 inches. You think that was an accident? I don't.
Amen.
When that boy that I've got his picture on my desk at the house from Philip Dale Joslin took all the load of that explosive round that fell right in front of him, and I was 3 feet behind him, and he died and I lived. You think that was a coincidence? I tell you, no!
Amen.
That was the divine providence of Almighty God. Now I'm telling you, if in providence God took care of me, surely to goodness being His child, God will yet protect me by His grace. God loves you today, church. God loves you today, sinner. God's love is right here in the enemy's camp for us. God loves. Amen. That He sent His only begotten Son. You know what that word begotten means? Not His only Son, because we are the saved are the sons of God, but His only begotten Son. That means that God fathered the Lord Jesus. When the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and it was conceived in her, when Jesus was conceived in her, God fathered Jesus. He is the only begotten. He begot Him out of His own loins, if I can put it that way. Now that may sound kind of sorry to some of you, but I'm telling you that's biblical and that's truth. If you don't believe me, you can look it up. You read through the Bible and all those people over in the book of Genesis, and it'll say so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. You know what that means? They are begotten of that person. It don't say about anybody else but Jesus being the only begotten Son of God. Whoop! Boy, I'm telling you, I could about eat one of these flyers. If He's the only begotten, He's one of a kind, that means ain't nobody else in all this world like Jesus.
Amen.
You'll catch that but slow freight after a while. Ain't nobody else like Him, praise God. Amen. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Oh yeah, there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Bless His wonderful name. His name means Savior. His name means deliverer. And as sure as He delivered Samaria, He'll deliver you and I today by the grace of God. And so we find in the enemy's camp letters of grace. We also find that wonderful love of Almighty God. And I want to say thirdly, they found a life of good things.
Amen.
They found all that flour and barley and silver and gold and vessels. Pretty good stuff, wasn't it?
Amen.
I'm glad I got out of the sawbriar patch. and got over on God's side. I'm not eating sawbriars. He leadeth me beside the still waters, and he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I'm eating on some real green grass. Not briars and thorns, praise God, but dry. You can suck all that liquor and suck that cigarette smoke till you die. You can shoot your needles and take your dope until you die. You can whoremong and skirt chase and everything till you die. And I'm telling you, all it is a life of thorns, praise God. I'm glad there's a better thing on the other side.
Amen.
A life of good things, friend. The Bible said, if a man findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. Well, I guess we, us as married, we found a good thing.
Amen. Yep.
Amen. Unless you married a heifer.
Amen.
The Bible said, a man that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. Now, Brother Gray's wife worth 2 gallons of gas. That's what they said last night. That's what Brother Ricky said. I told him I was going to get him. Richard, I didn't say that. I'm going to tear up back there. Somebody called in $20 and another wife. Brother Joel said, I put 10 on that challenge. Brother Rick said, is that all she's worth? Use 10, 2 gallons of gasoline. You know what I said? I said, call your bluff, big boy. Where's your money? Premium. Not just low octane, premium. High octane, 93 plus.
Amen.
Amen. What are you saying, old preacher? I'm saying that there's some good things in this world to be had, and I'm going to tell you where it's at. It is in the life that comes from knowing Christ. He's come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Bless His holy name. There's good things to be had in this world. Praise God, when I got saved, I just began to live, buddy. I remember the old days. Somebody said, I'd like to go back to them. You can have them. I don't want them. I am satisfied with what Jesus has done for me.
Amen.
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 Amen. Good things. I'm going to tell you one thing they found. They was about to die. They found food, and guess what that food done? Caused them to live a little longer,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah.
They got, hey, I'm going to tell you one of the good things in this life is a long life. That little old song says, I'm going to live forever, yeah. I'm going to die, no, never, no. Jesus died on a tree for me.
Amen.
And I'm going to live forever, yeah.
Amen.
What a long life. Can you get a hold of that? And I'm telling you, hey, you can't get it in the next world. You got to get her in the enemy's camp. You got to get her right here in this world. You'll either get saved now or you will not get saved. I don't believe in purgatory, boys. I don't believe in being prayed out of purgatory. I'm not a Catholic. And I don't believe in being prayed out of hell. If you ever go there, you're staying.
Amen.
There are some good things. It's a good life to live. Well, Steve, I mean, I don't have to, but I thought a good life was a jug of liquor, you know, and an automobile, and my arm hanging out the window of that thing, and a Marlboro hanging out my jaw, you know, boy. I thought I was a big wheel. But I learned I was absolutely an idiot. If I had all the money I'd thrown away on that slop, I could support WSOF for the rest of its life, of our life.
Amen.
Somebody said, I don't believe that.
Amen.
The evidence is sitting right over there.
Right.
I mean, I wasn't a weekend drunk. I was an everyday drunk.
Amen.
But I found a good thing. Praise God, when Jesus found me, I found a good thing. Amen. I started drinking from another fountain. Woo! That fountain made me drunk, all right, but it got drunk on the Holy Ghost. Amen right there. I'm not drunk with wine. I'm drunk on the Holy Ghost. Amen right there. Somebody said, I don't like that. That's what the book means. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's just like every sinner in the world. They try to shoot for that mark by on their own, and they'll miss it every time they shoot. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus never misses a mark. Woo! He always puts it right in the slot where it belongs. Amen. He drops that grace right down in the heart of an old lost sinner and grants them the liberty from their captivity and births them into the family of God and then provides for them everything that they need.
Amen.
Ain't that right?
That's right.
Good things. Old Brother Jerome got it 365 feet down.
Amen.
Got a good thing down there, didn't you, Brother Jerome?
Yeah, got the Holy Ghost.
When you come up to the top, you're another fellow, wasn't you?
Another man.
Amen.
Amen.
Everybody in here saved, probably tell me where you got saved.
Amen.
You may not know exactly when, but you probably know where.
Amen. You know.
You may not remember exactly the same day, the minute, the moment. And I'm going to tell you one thing, you know. You know if you got it, and you know if you ain't. Because the Spirit of God beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. No question about it. There is a witness within. There is a witness also, which is the Holy Ghost within. There is also a witness without, which is that book. There is also a witness above, which is God.
Amen.
That beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You can't read that Bible and it not tell you whether you're lost or saved.
Yep.
That Bible is quicker, sharp. Is
right.
Somebody help me. Word of God is quick, powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, discerner of the and the joints and the marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Amen.
Tell me it can't show you whether you're lost or not.
Amen.
Now let me ask you this morning. Has anybody ever dropped a letter of grace in your heart that told you about the love of God? That brought you to a saving knowledge of Christ that you might know better things to live for in this world.
Amen.
If you haven't, it's waiting for you at the gate of Samaria.
Amen.
The king's already dropped it there.
Amen.
Don't get in the crowd's way. Somebody said, I'm going to get in there and get mine. No, they died. Some of them did. Some of them died because they were greedy. But you know what? I found out this is real deep theology now. You better listen and get a hold of this. I found out a long time ago, ain't enough to go around. Ain't enough grace and love for everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. Thank God I said everybody.
Yeah.
Rich and the poor. Black and the white.
Amen.
The thick and the thin.
Amen.
The up and outers and the down and outers.
Amen.
There's enough for all of them.
Amen.
Grace.
Yep.
Treasures out there in the field, folks. And if you just wait like Elisha said, the king will bring them right to the gate for you. Don't run off. Wait on him. Let's stand together.